You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 together. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved by it. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Let's pray together. Let's tell the Father that we love Him today from our heart to His heart. May He hear from us. And then we move our prayer to being grateful and thankful who the Lord is, what He does, what He reveals, how He leads us through. He's constantly leading from one place to another in our life, from things we need to abstain from to things we need to live in obedience for and to. He's leading us to things of obedience, to greater steps of obedience. It's always to and from. So give thanks. Pray for other people who overlap into your life. Some, it may have happened recently. Some, it's people who have been constant. But pray for them by name. Lift their name to our Heavenly Father. People that you have burdens for, you care about, that God has given their name and imprinted it on your mind and your heart. Pray for our nation. Pray that our hearts would turn back to Him again. Last Sunday, we celebrated the anniversary, birthday, whichever way you want to look at it. But the greatest way we could do that is celebrate was to just pray together and pray for our nation, which we did. But not only for our nation, pray for the nations. We're all called to the nations. No matter how big or small of a church it is, pray for movements of God. Pray for peace in those war-torn areas. Pray for rest with the unrest that's in the Middle East. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the churches that are there. You and I can be in a little bit of a relaxed state compared to a lot of them. Pray for those churches. God has placed men and women and churches and ministries in the midst of all that chaos. And they're faithfully serving the Lord in the midst of all that distress. So pray for the empowerment upon those churches, those pastors, those people, those believers. We ask that you pray for the people who are around you, even now, where you stand. Even the ones you don't know, pray a blessing over them. Pray a blessing over your family, wherever they may be. Pray a blessing over your gifts to the church, your offerings that we exist to advance the gospel and the kingdom. Pray over those. Ask the Lord to bless that gift. And remember, there's a greater offering than your dollars today. It's you. You're more valuable than any piece of commerce, than any profit of the world. That you are an offering, and we say with the words of Isaiah, Lord, here am I, use me and send me. Father, I pray that you help me to be a plain preacher, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with that, I want to be obedient to it and to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in the room. From you, that judgment is there, and I know it, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. I changed up on you a little bit. I'm in the altar, just really wanted to be, I guess, just to change it up a little bit. I've got a buddy of mine, Steve Ayers, and he's all over the place. Sometimes he goes in the vestibule and sits down out in the vestibule and just continues to preach. If you know Ayers, you know that I'm not going to do that, okay? But he does it and does it comfortably and does it well. We're going to look at two core values today that we've always had. We've had these for years. But before we get to those core values, I want to go to 1 Peter or 2 Peter 1, 12 and 13 for a moment. And I want you to know that we are commanded by Scripture to repeat ourselves as preachers, okay? Because sometimes you'll come to me and you'll go, man, don't you know you've said that before? Yeah, I know I've said it before. I'm waiting for you to do something about it, you know, for you to put it in place in your life. And we've had this recently in Scripture. We've used it, but 2 Peter 1, 12 and 13. Therefore, I'll always remind you about these things. And what he's writing about is the life of believers. Even though you know them and are established in the truth you have, verse 13, I consider it right, as long as I'm in this bodily tent, Simon Peter writes, to wake you up with a reminder. And that's what I'm doing today, giving you a bit of a reminder. I do that a lot. Do I know I'm doing that? The answer is yes. I do know that I'm doing that, because there are things that are very important that you be reminded about. And so we're giving you our two core values today as we prepare for our fall schedule coming up. We want to remind you of what our two core values are, and they are connect people to Jesus and live out your biblical story. And we're going to handle those today. But some people are like, why don't we have 10 core values? Because 10 seems to be the magical number when it comes to a list. And I go, because you won't remember 10, and you'll do good to remember 2. But these two wrap up what we really try to accomplish in our fall schedule, spring schedule, our ministries. We really try to accomplish these two things, is to connect people to Jesus, and then you live out the story that God wants to tell through your life. So the first one we're going to handle is connect people to Jesus. I was in a evangelism conference, and I heard two brothers who are evangelists from Texas, Angel and Homer Martinez. When I heard this, it's one of those moments that maybe you have with me or other preachers, and it just was imprinted on my heart. It was just like a stamp. And he said, when you see people, you see them one or two ways. You see them as somebody that Christ is already living in, or you see them as someone that Christ died for. And I want you to know, I work hard to only look at people in one of the two categories. I don't look at where they're from. I don't look at the color of skin. I don't look at anything. As a pastor and a minister of the gospel, I look at a person's life and I'm going, okay, Christ already lives in their life. Or I've got to remind them that Christ died for them. It's only one or two categories. I've shaped my ministry around that imprint that the Lord gave me through those two evangelists and those brother evangelists. So we're going to look at the life of Andrew here in a moment, then even the life of Philip and Nathaniel. And I just want you to see that what the simple thing they do is just connect people to the Lord. Now, you and I can get into all these sub-points and go, well, man, when they come to the Lord, they need to know this, they need to know this. And it's like drinking from a fire hose sometimes. We do this with people. That they come to know the Lord and they just got to have all this information. Guys, that's a whole life that you build. It's called sanctification. You know, being saved is justification. Living that life of being shaped by His Word and by His presence, then that's the sanctification. See, and it's a little old kid's song. He's still working on me, making me what I ought to be. You know, And that's, I don't care how old you are in age or your faith, that's what he still continues to do. And we've got to realize that when people come to Christ, they don't know everything. They're going to learn it in seasons. They're going to learn it through tragedy. They're going to learn it through great blessings. They're going to learn, I refer to it as the Lordship of Christ. That when he's going to guide you, if you let him, he's going to guide you in all that he does. So I want us to look at John chapter 1, verses 40 and 42 for a moment. And it's Andrew, who is just bringing his brother to Christ, said, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. In verse 41, he first found his own brother Simon and told him, we found the Messiah, the Christ, means the anointed one. Excuse me. Verse 42, and he brought Simon to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, this happened immediately. He said, you are Simon, son of John. From now on, you're going to be called Cephas, which means rock. And you're going to see how God uses Simon Peter in the future. In Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit gives birth to the church in Acts 2, that Peter in boldness begins preaching. It would be good for you to look at Acts 2 sometime today, this week, and realize what he preaches. It's the Lord. He's crucified and raised from the dead. But he in his preaching, 3,000 in one day come to know the Lord and enter into the life of the church. But all that came out of one brother just inviting his brother to come meet this guy. And that's it. I don't have Simon Peter graduating from seminary all of a sudden. I don't have him all, you know, he just met Jesus. He met Jesus and then he becomes this phenomenal preacher. Now Peter has his moments like all of us. We stick our foot in our mouth. And I want to remind you, here's a guy that denied the Lord publicly, even cussed around the camp, you know, to make it look like he didn't follow the Lord. Not only that, do you remember in the Gospels where Simon Peter had the audacity to pull Jesus off to the side and rebuke him? Can I give you a hint? Don't do that. You know, but I mean, he just had the gall. That's what I grew up. I don't even know if I can spell that word, but he just had the gall to go and say, you know, Jesus, you know, and I'm going, man, how crazy are you to do that? But yet God used him mightily. And it all came out of a very specific invitation of one brother, not just brother in the gospel sense or in the family of God, but a literal brother. And he introduced him to Jesus. And he becomes this great preacher throughout the New Testament. And we even referred to one of his books earlier that we preachers are about the ministry of getting you to remember and to remind you. Let's take Andrew again, John 6, 8 through 13. This is Andrew. This is the feeding of the 5,000. And this is Andrew doing what Andrew does. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy, all these people were there. I've had the opportunity to be there and see this area where Jesus would have performed this miracle. He said, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But looking at the 5,000, they're hungry. But what are they for so many? I mean, 5 loaves and 2 fish. If I had that for myself and somebody told me I need to share it with you, I might growl at you. You know, I mean, you don't get new my food dish, you know. I'll just leave that for me. And it's a boy's lunch. But what does Andrew do? Simple invitation. Come here. So he brings a boy and his lunch to the Lord. And then the Lord takes that lunch and does a miracle with it. He says, then Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. So they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000, which there's, it could be he fed 10,000 because women weren't counted. You know, it could go on to all that. But nonetheless, then Jesus took the loaves. He gave thanks. He distributed them among those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted, they ate. Verse 12, when they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. Verse 13, so they collected them and they filled 12, they just had one basket, but he said they filled 12 baskets with pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. All that miracle happened over Andrew making a common move of finding a kid with his lunch and then just saying, hey, Jesus, here's a kid with his lunch. And look what happened. I don't think it was Andrew's intent to do anything but to let the boy and his lunch come to Christ. And let's see what happens. It's just all about connecting people to Jesus. Sometimes we get really, really into, well, what happens after that? Well, I hope they learn the Lordship of Christ. I can't teach you everything you need to know. You can't hear me preach all the time in 30 years to tell you everything you need to know. It comes out of the Lordship of Christ and being in His Word, in His presence, in His Word, feeding me on a regular basis. And then His Lordship just continues to reveal and reveal and reveal Himself to us. You always find Andrew bringing people to Christ, and that's all he does. Then we look at John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The next day he decided to leave Galilee. Jesus found Philip, and he told him, follow me. And now Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Simon Peter that we've just been talking about. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets. He's Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And then Nathanael is like, Nazareth? Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asked him, come and see. Philip answered, verse 47, then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said about him this, he's a true Israelite and there's no corruption in him. And listen, he sees that. He knew that. He perceived him. How do you know me? Nathanael asks. You know, it's like we just met. How do you know me? And before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you, Jesus answered. Let me just stop and have a little side sermon here. Okay, do you think you do anything in secret? Some of you might think that, but you don't. You can't hide. You can't hide. You can't live under the 100-mile rule and think that the Lord doesn't know that. You can't do it. He sees everything. He knows everything. It's important for us to be able to see this and understand this, that we think we can pull the wool over His eyes, or because I can duke you that maybe I can duke God. And I just want you to know that's not true. You know, in the book of Revelation, when it gets to talk about the revealing, which is the name Revelation, that it's got a word in there that says all will be fully known. And that word is a word that has to do with outdoorsmen, like field dressing a deer. Everything will be known. Everything. You can't hide from Him. You can't hide from Him. And He said, Philip, to Nathanael, before Philip called you to come to meet me, I saw you under the fig tree, Jesus answered. Look at 49. Man, Nathanael changes right there real quick. Rabbi, I mean, it's gone from meeting Jesus, you know, to he's teacher now. He's rabbi. Nathanael replied, you're the son of God. You're the king of Israel. I mean, Nathanael just starts really announcing that. In verse 50, Jesus responded to him, "Do you believe only because I told you I saw you under the fig tree?" He said, Nathaniel, I want to tell you something. You're going to see greater things than this. Listen, Nathaniel, can we say Jesus is talking some smack here a little bit? He's just saying, you think this is a big deal? Look at the things I will reveal to you, Nathaniel. You will see greater things than this. Then he said, I assure you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You're going to see incredible stuff. I could tell a story about a young girl that died of cancer in Lawrenceburg. If I mention her name, many of you will know her. And right before she died, the family was with her. And I know this from family members who were there. And life was basically just drained from her. And she had a spark of life. And she was awakened. And she revealed, this is a little girl, little young age girl, and she revealed to her family members how God had revealed heaven to her. And thanked her mom and dad before she died for all the care that they had given her, and mentioned the angels of God. Because he said, you'll see heaven opened up. You'll see angels and you'll see them ascending and descending. You're going to see all incredible stuff. I'm going to have to leave in a hurry after the second service, which if you're thinking it shortens the sermon, it doesn't. So I've got a funeral in Campbellsville this afternoon. And I actually have a funeral in Louisville tomorrow of a lady from Campbellsville. And so the funeral this afternoon is my baseball coach. And he's like a dad to me. And more than a coach, very close to his family. And he was 91 years old, and he's been to church here, Coach Shaw, several times, and just we're connected in too many angles for me to explain to you. So Julie and I had this plan last night of going to visitation, and because Coach Shaw's daughter-in-law was one of Julie's very best friends growing up. Her name is Sue Shaw. And David, her husband, is the son of our baseball coach, who's one of my best friends. And actually, it was through them that I met Julie, and the rest is history. So Julie and I had this plan. Of course, Campbellsville's home to us, and we're like, we're going to go in there for the family visitation, which is an hour before the public. So the public visitation was at 4. We were going to get in there between 3 and 4 and just see who we needed to see and zip out. Right? That was our plan. Ask me if that plan happened. Well, we got to seeing people that I played ball with, she grew up with. It just became this unbelievable reunion, and we were trying to leave, and I was ready to leave, and there was Julie talking to people, and then she was ready to leave, and there I am talking to people, and then I've got people coming up going, well, listen, when I pass away, I want you to do my funeral, so I'm getting my future funeral itinerary all in line here, and we've got two from Campbellsville here now, especially one that I grew up with, Jamie, and he knows what I'm talking about. We couldn't get away. I mean, it just running into people, just waves of people. And I was talking to them, and I'm a hugger, you know that. So people hold their hand out and shake, and I just hug them and get them in, you know, the Jeff Eaton bear hug. So there's this one family I didn't know, and she stood there, she and her husband, and the line had already moved up closer to the casket, so there's this big gap, and he's like, honey, you need to go forward. And she goes, I don't know who this man is, but I want him to hug us too, you know, so I hugged them, you know. So, but I got to talking to a family there, and I was just sharing with them, and I'm going to tell you something that I pray, okay, and I mean this. I pray the Holy Spirit's conviction on people's lives. I say, Lord, don't let them eat. I said, Lord, disrupt their sleep. I said, Lord, I was the kind of guy that the Holy Spirit had to get me in a WWE headlock, you know. And I'm going, Lord, you know, you got me in a headlock. Won't you get them in a headlock like you do me? You know, sometimes ask those questions. But I pray for the conviction of God, because listen, when I totally surrendered to ministry, I was already a believer, but I was just a real carnal believer. Just 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the kingdom, which means there's no feet in the kingdom, you know, really. And I know people pray for me, but man, the Lord just got me in this wrestling hold and was like, this is what you got to do. And I pray that upon people. And so this couple that I'd seen, hadn't seen for a long time, we were talking and they were like, we pray for you. We're thankful you're a preacher, that kind of stuff. And I know that's true. But I was talking about them. I said, you know, why don't the Lord get people in headlocks like he did us? Isn't it crazy that the world has that kind of a draw on me and you? I mean, just stop and think about it. It's like a magnet. And you and I just run to it. And we think the world is going to handle our problems. And I just want you to know something. This is the way I see it, and I see it with it, Scripture shaping this. I think the world has an altar, and I think that the world puts you on it and sacrifices you on it. But yet we run to that. When we've got a Savior who took to the cross for us and should have sacrificed us, but chose to sacrifice himself. And I want you to know, Satan will never sacrifice himself. He will sacrifice you every single time. And consider it a victory when he's done it. But yet you and I run to it. It makes no sense to me. When the simplest thing you and I can do is just really connect people to Jesus. And you got the miracle of a great preacher. You've got the miracle of feeding 5,000 with just a boy's simple lunch. And all it takes is me and you connecting people to Christ. But here becomes the issue. If you're not running to Christ, how are you going to tell anybody else to do it to? If you don't, you're not going to tell anybody else to go there. You know, D.T. Niles has got the greatest definition of evangelism, and he said it's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And it's just simply that. I connect them to Jesus. I let Jesus do the rest of it. And some of us are like, well, we want him to do it quicker. He didn't do it real fast in my life, but he did it, you know. And so I have to ask you a question. Where do you go? Where do you go when the tensions of life are so great, when the trials are thick, when a sin-sick world affects you innocently, because it does, when temptation is just knocking at your door, when you're filled with the world and you're running to the world and you've got decisions and you're confused and you have questions, and I ask you, where do you go? Where do you go? What do you do with that? Look at John 6, 67 and 69. And this is Simon Peter having one of his glorious moments where Jesus had the 12 and then he had other believers. And what he taught was very difficult. And so the other believers were leaving him. They were leaving him. And Jesus says, therefore, Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? Do you want to run away like they did? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of life. You have the words of eternal life. In verse 69, he said, we've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And Peter's like, where else are we going to go? And then I'm asking you, where do you go? Because if you're not going to the Lord on a regular basis, you're not going to tell anybody else to go there either. And that's what we've got to do in our lives. And I want you to hear this from my heart. I want you to hear this from a preacher's heart, that the He'll lead you through. And sometimes I say that so much, I just don't think you hear me. But he promises to lead us through everything in our life. It's the 23rd Psalm, and we go through the valley of the shadow. You don't camp out in there. He leads you through it. And we've got people in the first service going through difficult times in their life. And I look at them as a pastor, and I'm going, listen, just stay connected to the Lord. He's a good shepherd. He'll lead you through this. He'll lead you through this. And he will. And just remember this, too. If you and Jesus are out of line, everything's out of line. You won't even order right at McDonald's. I mean, James says you become a double-souled person, unstable in all their ways. You know, and so what do we do? Just stay connected to the Lord. There's so much drawing me and you away from him constantly. It doesn't give up. And you and I have got to run to him. Simon Peter, where are we going to go? We don't have it. Where else are we going to go? You have the words of life and you have the words of eternal life. So Peter is declaring this. You go to the Lord, and we know the Lord leads us to the Father, and we know that we have a good, good Father. He will lead us through. So I hope you hear that. Then we look at the second core value, live out your biblical story. You and I read the stories of God and his people in Scripture, and some of those stories are faithful people, and some of those stories are unfaithful people. But we learn from both. We learn what they do and what they go through. And the Lord's got a story to tell through you. He's got a story to tell through you. And it's your story. And let it be one of faithfulness. So I mentioned this in a sermon a few Sundays ago. So back home in Greensburg and Campbellsville, there's a guy that was raised in Louisville, but his roots are green in Taylor County. His name's Barry Durrett. And I didn't know Barry when he was younger because he grew up in Louisville. But his family's all back. So he's gotten into songwriting. And I've had people from home sending me his songs. And I know some of you know the story of me being saved. And I usually always tell it in new member training. But there was this family in Somersville called the Durrett family. And they were a singing family, Southern gospel music. And there was Ansel and his wife. Ansel's the man, the daddy, the patriarch of it. And then there's Mike and Sharon and Steve, the two boys and daughter. And then the lady on the piano is Ansel's sister, Miss Hodges. And so they went around saying, well, God had called Ansel to preach. And he came, his nickname is Bug Durrett. It's all I ever knew him as. If I even check his obituary again, at times, I just type in Bug Durrett, old bit Greensburg, and I get it because that's all we all called him. And he came on a Sunday night. My dad had him preach. He preached on hell. I had a big old lie in my life, and that was I was going to go to heaven because my dad was the preacher. It sounds logical, theologically totally incorrect. I thought my dad's a preacher and I've got to hold his coattail, you know, and I'll go to heaven because of my dad. And that night, the Lord revealed to my little heart that the only way that I was going to have eternal life was through Christ. So I surrendered my life to the Lord that night. And I know people have got these flamboyant testimonies. And so here's my flamboyant testimony. There's this guy named Bug Durrett that preached on hell, and I surrendered to him. It's no Billy Graham crusade, no George Beverly Shea, no Cliff Barrows leading the choir. It's Bug Durrett is preaching, and what makes it funnier is he's got a brother that's nickname was Toad and another brother whose nickname was Dink, and that's all I knew him as is Bug, Toad, and Dink Durrett. And I tell that, you know, there's nothing flamboyant about it. Well, back to Barry Durrett. He's got this song from Gabe to Greensburg. So a buddy of mine from back home sent it to me, and I listened to it. And so Bug, Toad, and Dink are all kin to him. And so he's got this song, and he names them in this song. And I'm going, finally, somebody's going to believe me, you know, that Bug, Toad, and Dink do really exist. And I called him up. I got his number, and I called him up, and we just had a good chat. And many songs have come from that, about Leon Lewis's store and just places I grew up and people I grew up with. His grandfather was named James, but we called him Mr. Booty. Mr. Booty Durrett chewed tobacco all the time, sat on that side of the church near the register in the floor, and he spit tobacco in the register so he didn't get it on the carpet. Mr. Booty. I'm not making this up, folks. I'm telling you. It's true. But here's my point. I've got a story. I've got a story. You've got a story. They're going to match on some levels of what Christ has done. But, you know, the characters and the people around that he used will be a bit different. But we have stories of how he saved us and how people have callous their knees praying for you. We've all got those stories together. So we live out these biblical stories. And they're stories of God's faithfulness and even your faithfulness. And even when you were faithless, God still remained faithful to me and to you. When the last thing on our mind was anything about God, he still had his grace and he had his purpose for us. I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. We're going to see that you connect people to Jesus, amazing things follow. You live out your biblical story, it's about his grace and his purpose living out in your life. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works for him, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before time began, he had a plan that through Christ, you and I were going to have a story of his faithfulness. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. This is Moses really passing on the mantle to Joshua. And Moses then summoned Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong, Joshua, courageous. For you will go with his people into the land the Lord swore to give to their fathers. You will enable them to take possession of it. And then look at verse 8. The Lord is the one who will go before you. Do you hear that? That's just not for Joshua. That's for us. He's ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. And then the word forsake is there, which means he will not forget you. He's not going to ever forget you. Do not be afraid and don't be discouraged. Listen, if the Lord knew that Nathan was underneath the fig tree before he even met Nathan, he knows what's going on around you. He knows what you're going through as I speak. He knows what's prepared for me this afternoon. I can be a crier, you know that. I'm trying to get all the tears out before I have the funeral this afternoon, because here's a man that God so richly used in my life. And his son David, we played ball together, but David looked at me last night and he goes, buck up. He said, buck up, big boy. And I'm trying to be able to do that so that I can speak and minister effectively. But my point in every bit of that is that God knows what's going on with me now, and I know he'll prepare me. I know that God knows what's going on with you. There's some here recently and that just lost a parent, and there's people in our church that just lost a child. It goes on, and I've got to remind them that God knows what you're going through. And I don't say that to be trite or this little feel good, this little warm fuzzy. It's just he knows, and he'll lead you through this thing. You and I have got to trust the Lord. We've got to trust him. We've got to run to him. If you and I aren't running to him, we're not telling other people to run to him. Just make sure you are, and then you'll make sure that they are. And that becomes the issue of that. I hope you receive that today. Do you receive this word today to you? Be strong and courageous. The Lord is ahead of you. He is with you. He will empower you. He will not forget you. He knows exactly what you're going through. Amen? We trust him in that. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. Pray blessing over them. Father, there's so much pull on our lives to go another direction than you. So much. Our own mind plays with us, and the enemy then plays with our mind. And Lord, just we surrender to you now. Even as we're seated in this place, we surrender to you. Father, we align ourselves with you. We put our faith and our trust in you. And Lord, before we connect to other people, let's just convict us of where we are and where we need to be, and even run into you. Even with the big old question marks in our life, we run to you and we trust you. And then Lord, give us the boldness and the courage and even the order of putting our story together so that we can tell the story. We can tell the story that you want to tell through our lives about your faithfulness and what you can do. I pray that over our people today. I pray surrender, and I pray, Lord, that they run to you and submit to you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. The invitation is this. You want to come and be prayed for, be prayed with, be prayed over. You come. You've got things going on. Come. There'll be people here to pray with you and for you and over you. You may want to come and make a day of surrender, that you surrender your life to the Lord. I pray that you let that be today, or it could be that you just want to give thanks. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, we ask you to come. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your place down here in the altar? And the team's going to lead us, and you come.